This is an oral history interview of Russell E. Johnson, Jr., an MP, Spec 4 in Vietnam. The interviewer is myself, Dwight D. Daniel, a volunteer at the National Museum of the Pacific War, located in Fredericksburg, Texas. Today is 19 August 2003, and this interview is taking place at Mr. Johnson's home. Okay, we got that fixed. This interview is in support of the Center for Pacific War Studies, which is the archive for the preservation of historical information of the National Museum for the Pacific War, Texas Park and Wildlife. This is tape one, side A. Just say something in there so we can verify the tape's working.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's cool.
Let's see.
Okay, Russell, there's very few questions we always ask everybody because we treat everybody individually, but the one question is, where were you born, when were you born, and what did your parents do?
I was born in Austin.
You're kidding. And I'm a local boy?
Yeah, October the 5th, 1941, at the old Seton Hospital on 29th Street.
Wow.
My father, at the time, was working as a pipe fitter. My mother was a housewife.
So you really are one of these local kids.
Yeah, I was born in Austin, but there ain't enough money in the world to get me to live there.
I can believe that. So, did you grow up in Austin?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I went to Eden School.
Holy.
I was elementary, and I graduated from there.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, I went to a little one-room school called Bruton Springs School.
Well, I don't know what Bruton Springs was.
It's on Buchanan Road.
Oh, no kidding.
Went there in first grade, second grade. I went to Baker Elementary. And then I went to Eames.
Okay.
And then after that, after graduating from Eames, I went to Old Henry Junior High.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I went to Austin High for about 6 weeks, and we moved to North Austin, and I finished up at McCallum High School.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't graduate, but I did get my diploma, GED diploma.
Okay.
And it's just as good.
So you're 18, that's about 1959 or so when you graduated then.
I was supposed to graduate in 60.
Okay.
But I was just 17 when I joined the 49th Hour Group.
Ah, okay. So, good old dad signed for you then.
Well, they okayed me. They only last about, let's see, September 21st, 59 to October 5th, only 15 days.
Ah, okay. They cut you some slack then.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, obviously, the 49th was a guard out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Were they armored?
Yeah, 49th armored.
Oh, okay. I didn't move down here until the early 80s, so I wasn't sure what the 49th was. So when you joined, what'd you do for them?
I was just a slick sleeve and doing whatever they told me to
do. Okay. Okay.
And then they told me, well, you got to leave here in February and go on to Fort Knox, Kentucky for your basic training.
Ah.
I was like 18 years old going to basic training.
What was Fort Knox like then?
Cold. I didn't see the ground for the last week over there.
You're kidding, that much snow?
Mm-hmm.
That's unusual for Fort Knox.
10 foot drifts up against the barrier.
Oh, man. What was training like? Now, you had the 6 or 8 week basic.
About 8 weeks of basic.
Okay, you had the 8 weeks. What was it like?
Well, I've never been getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning for reveille before. and then go to Cal, and then Calisthenics, PT, and,
mm-hmm.
and then, when we were firing our M1s, we didn't ride out to the rifle range like most
marks.
We ran. And it was 5 miles. I learned real quick when I feed the big breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Learned that.
Yeah. Most of us are sick all the time with either flu or a cold or something because the temperature changes. We went on, and my best buddy, he and I went to some Calum together, and we went to base training together, and he developed pneumonia.
Gee.
And they didn't put him in the hospital.
Huh.
They checked him into a little room that used mainly for the sergeant.
And the little sergeant room at the end of Barry.
Yep. And I stopped by in the morning. I went to a spit can, made sure he had enough GI Jim, and, well, all the gave ATCs. And the evening would come in, I'd check on him and do the same thing all over again. At last week's training, he was still weak from the pneumonia, and when he come back to life range, he just more or less tried to collapse, and I took his rifle. I was carrying both rifles, and I had my arms around his waist, and another guy joined me to get into the company area.
I'm surprised he didn't put him in the hospital.
Well, we were too. Not him, but there was a bunch of us.
Wow. So how did he finally come out of this?
Okay.
Okay.
We all graduated from basic. And then I went to the same port afterwards for AIT.
Ah, where'd you go?
Fort Gordon, Georgia.
Fort Gordon?
Yep.
What did you do at Fort Gordon?
That's where I learned to become a MP.
Ah, okay. So that was the MP school then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he went to signal school there.
Right, and it was signal school. How come you picked MP, or was this an option?
Well, the guy that lived behind me, when I was going to school, I knew his brother. And he was already in the guard, and I said, well, let me ask Charles over here about joining the guard. Well, no problem. That's how I learned about that.
Okay. So why MP? Why not signal or?
Well, I thought the MPs was headed good, but I was wrong. I was wrong.
Got into that snappy uniform, forgot about all the other good stuff.
Well, no, they've got really complex there at the Federal Marshal General School because we had to learn military law, some civilian law, what we could do and could not do as far as the civilian went. We had to take tests on that and pass it. Otherwise, you didn't graduate.
Right.
You didn't get your bizarre on your left shoulder, and you didn't get your certificate. I've got mine. Still have it. That's 1960, 43 years old.
Wow. How did you like Gordon at the time?
Well, it was just like Fort Knox, if it wasn't cold. It was the same old World War II barracks.
Right. The two-story barracks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No air conditioning.
Right.
And coal fire and water heaters.
Yep.
Yep.
Know them well.
And saw those pits for judo training.
Yep.
Nowadays, they do all that in a gymnasium with mats on the floor.
Right.
Back then, you took our fatigue shirts off and got out there and did judo with all that sawdust and stuff and all those pine trees around there. And itch and scratch all that day until you got back where you take a shower.
Right.
And finally we convinced them to let us do that as the last thing of the evening.
Oh, that was a good move then.
Yeah.
What did you think about the drill, the DI at the time? They're good, bad, or just there were guys that you don't talk to them?
Well, at the military police school, everything's pretty subdued.
Ah, okay.
But at basic training, if you even look wrong the right way or whatever, you'd have a cabrio on your rear end real quick.
Interesting.
I had one come up and kick me in the back. And somebody reported him to the inspector general. And I didn't know what it was all about when I called him. The Army Room said, you need to go over and see the inspector general. I said, for what? I didn't know what was going on. And then I found out, I said, yes, he just kicked me in the back. But I didn't think he might have it, you know, at the time.
I probably deserved it.
Well, he said I wasn't close enough down on the rifle range with I was supposed to be a coach.
He wanted you really close to the kid that was
Yeah, and he wasn't even in charge of me. He was from another platoon.
Holy.
I platoon sergeant, he stood up for him.
So whatever happened to the guy, you remember?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think anything happened to him.
Probably not. Did they wear Smokey's Bear hats then?
I don't know. Hell no.
What'd they wear?
Regular pea tip.
Ah, okay.
The block kind.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Korean War block kind. Recently, I used to run drill companies, and by the time I ran them, they had Smokey's Bear hats. The campaign hats.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I love those. Well, I'll say this, but that's what we call them over in Korea.
What's that?
Pussycat.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the flaps on the side.
Yep.
You let it down 1 year ago. I need one of those. I've been trying to find one. Young kids.
Those are hard to find. Those are real hard. I have one, but they're hard to find. Okay, you got out of Fort Gordon, and then where'd you go? Back to?
I got out of Fort Gordon, come back home.
Okay.
And started making drills.
Ah, okay.
And as soon as I got back, I was given a PSC stripe. And
cool.
The next year, in October, we were activated, and we went to Fort Pope.
Ah, I didn't realize the 49th was activated.
Yep. And
what year was that?
1961.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, October 61, you guys were activated. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to the Garden Spot of America.
Well, I wouldn't say the Garden Spot. Johnson grass was growing about 6 feet tall around our barracks when we pulled up. Cows were sleeping in the barracks.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, dude.
Oh, my God.
That was their shed, you know, that from rain or cold, they were like, because the door was open, they just walked right over in.
Oh, man.
It took us a while to get the smell out of there.
I can believe that.
And I'd already made spec four by that time.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see. We had already had a summer camp before October 61.
Mm-hmm.
We went to North Fort Hood for it.
Oh, another garden spot.
Oh, yeah, that's a real lovely place up there.
I hope this transcriber appreciates the fact that I've also gone to North Fort Hood. Many a moon.
And then we went sometime in July, I believe. And on the way back, it rained on us. We didn't have no top up or anything.
Oh, man.
And we got soaked. It was a cold rain, and I developed pneumonia after that from it.
Huh.
And, after we got released from Fort Polk, I came back home, and I had to spend somewhere in 63, I was deactivated from active service.
Okay.
It can't remember exactly when, but I've got all the 214s and discharges. I got three or four discharges. Anyhow, I was on inactive duty, and I got in a little trouble in town. And I was advised to get the hell out of Dodge by my lawyer. So, I mean, if these charges dropped, if you just make sure you're going to re-enlist still on active duty.
What was this? You're in Austin? Ah, okay. So yeah. You're one of those boys, join the Army or else kind of deal, man.
Well, I was looking at a $500 fine for two offenses.
Damn.
Disturbing the peace, and I've had an old Saturday night special I bought in Louisiana underneath the seat of my car, and the sheriff got that. Anyhow, one thing led to another, I went down to the old federal building, which is now Old Henry Hall down on Colorado 6. And I went in there and talked to Cody Sergeant, and he said, I can't give you any four stripes because you've been inactive for so long.
Ah, okay.
Can't even get PFC stripes.
Okay.
Well, I took all the tests, and they sent me to San Antonio. I came in for what? Fentanyl, I believe.
Oh, probably, yeah.
And when I came back, I signed the paper and said, okay, you got a flight leaving San Antonio tonight for L.A. or Frisco, one of the two.
Right.
I think it was L.A. And then we went to Frisco from there. Got Northwest Airlines from Frisco to Anchorage. And it was cold.
So you were stationed in Anchorage?
No.
Oh.
There was a stopover for refueling.
Oh, okay.
And
Anchorage is a cold place.
Yeah, it was, when, especially when we left the door open. I was sitting right next to it. anyhow. Got to Japan. Can't remember the name. Kadena Air Force Base,
probably. Yeah.
And they sent us to a barracks because, I had to report to my company the next day.
Wow.
In Korea. In
Korea.
Yeah, and so the next morning, woke signed up, ate breakfast that quick, and then rushed me up to the airport, and I caught a C-130. One of those things is no fun to ride in.
Right.
Gave a box lunch, and you try to eat the sandwich, and you start putting your mouth, and you stick it to your forehead, because
about
turbulence. It melts, you pour that all over yourself. So.
Yeah.
And then I got to Kempo, and they sent a deuce and a half down for everybody going north. And I ended up in Weejeonbu, Korea.
No kidding.
3 days after I signed the papers.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
3 days?
3 days.
Good Lord.
And I had no idea what to expect.
Now,
I've got a rude awakening, believe it.
Did you go in as an MP or?
Yeah, I went in as an MP.
Okay.
I wish I'd have done what the guy asked me, questioned me about. So, you sure you want to go in as an MP? How about artillery or armor?
He said, hey, man.
I should have went artillery because I saw corporals and sergeants that didn't have 18 months in the service walking around with corporal and sergeant stripes on their sleeves. So, anyhow, I was serious as an MP.
Serious.
And I just had to take the international driving test.
Yeah.
And
now, what'd you do there? What rank were you there? Were you still Slick Sleek or?
Shortly after I got there, I made CFC.
Okay, but you went there as Low of the Low. Okay.
Jeez. And the CEO, he was from Austin.
Uh-huh. I had a thing.
And went to school at UT.
Huh.
And I guess he looked at my record and thought I'd already had 4-something years of prior service.
Right.
And one day I got this order to go down to this room somewhere, or one building someplace, to take a test.
Uh-huh.
So I did. I was the only enlisted person below the rank of E5 in the room. So PFC. What it was, it was a proficiency test.
Uh-huh.
I took the test and I passed it. Some of E5 didn't make it.
Cool.
And then they sent me up to Camp Santa Barbara, which is up above the 38th parallel, about 3 miles from the DMZ.
Uh-huh.
For a while, and then I got in a little skirmish up there, and well, about that time I should have done an E4, but he didn't bust me, but he gave me Article 15.
Okay.
And I fulfilled that.
You want to tell what you did, or?
Well, no, I don't want to tell you what I did, but it was spur of the moment thing. Well, I'll tell you what happened. One of the guys was on duty at the gate.
Uh-huh.
He had somebody inside the gate shack who was questioning their pass.
Uh-huh.
And he turned around and used the telephone to tell the desk sergeant, send somebody down to the Jeep. Uh-huh. I was off duty at the time. Get somebody down to the Jeep to get him taken back up to the desk.
Uh-huh.
And so he called him. The CQ at his, he was in artillery, CQ, to ascertain whether or not he had the correct pass. Well, the guy looked like he was fixing to hit the guy who used the phone. Instead of grabbing him, I just hit him upside, like an idiot.
Okay.
That's what happened.
What rank was this guy?
E4, Carl, PFC, I can't remember.
He wasn't an officer then?
No. Matter of fact, he was about 5'3 or 5'4.
Wow. What were your duties like up there as an MP? Were you doing mostly traffic control, or?
Well, no, we did a lot of patrolling.
Oh, you did? Okay, so you guys did patrol that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We maintained the main gate.
Okay.
24 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
And on patrol, we just had 2 patrols.
Uh-huh.
And we were in the process of arresting trespassers on the compound.
Uh-huh.
They'd go and cut wood on the mountains.
Uh-huh.
And would you believe one of those suckers was about 65 or 70 years old could run up the side of a hill? I call them hills, but they were mountains.
Uh-huh.
Faster than I could with just a .45 on my hip.
Wow.
They didn't leave me in the dust. Even my Katusa partner couldn't catch him.
Good Lord.
You know what a Katusa is, don't you?
No.
That's a Korean soldier that attached to the United States Army.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I got a picture with me and 7 of them out in front of the desk at Camp Santa Barbara. I doubt if it's there now, but that's where it was when I was there.
When you patrolled, did you actually patrol into the DMZ?
No.
Okay, so you just patrolled.
We didn't get much out of the,
okay,
away from the compound area.
Okay, I asked because I had friends that actually ran combat patrols into our side of the DMZ. They set up ambushes and everything else.
Oh, no, we didn't do any of that.
That's when they were giving out CIVs. Guy comes in with a CIV, and I thought, he's come back from Korea. He just don't ask. And so the North Koreans were trying to push something.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were actually running during the Vietnam War. People don't realize we were actually shooting each other on the DMZ. Both sides were running patrols out there. Now, he stayed on our side, but his job was to set up ambush at night. Mm-hmm. He said he got lots of contact.
Well, let me tell you something. I was privy to the information on the Daily Military Police Law.
Mm-hmm.
There were people getting killed over left and right. And
mm-hmm.
You might read one instance about somebody getting killed in the Stars and Stripes.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it was hushed up.
Right.
And, well.
Yeah, people on the state side, if you weren't in the military, didn't realize how hot that DMZ was. And mm-hmm. for a couple of years, it was seriously hot.
Fort Shaw Hill was about 4 or 5 miles of crow flies
mm-hmm.
from where we were.
So you stayed basically at the compound. Were you actually at with the Pan Mijon or whatever it was?
No.
Okay.
No, I never got there.
Okay.
I was probably freaked out if I had to go up there. That's what I can't understand about these MPs over in Iraq getting killed. Don't let the son of a bitches get too close to you. You know, that's what I keep saying, but they still keep getting killed.
Okay, so you were at the compound. What other kind of duties did you have? Just basically MP duties like traffic control, control the compound, things like that?
Well, that was basically it.
Okay.
Wasn't too much traffic control going on, so it wasn't needed. There wasn't that many convoys
okay.
coming. Everybody was where they're supposed to be at any given time. There wasn't that much going on.
Ah, okay. So you were there at the quiet time, and it was called quiet.
Yeah. After they sent me back down to the company,
mm-hmm.
I think it was in October. What was the Gulf of Tonkin?
October, September of 64. Yeah, I think.
We were put on standby alert.
Okay.
And we wondered what the hell it was all for, because it was into this warm weather gear.
Okay.
Yeah, this is October, man. It's already snowed right here.
Yeah, okay.
Already. And after about 12, 14 hours, we said they said stand down from the alert.
Huh.
They were fixing to ship us tomorrow.
Okay. Now, how are you armed? Do you have the M14 then, or do you still have the Grand? While you were in Korea?
I think about that time they changed. There were M1s there, and all of a sudden they issued us a new rifle.
Okay.
I love that M14.
Okay.
I just wish I had $1,300 to buy one.
Yeah, they're nice. Now, okay, you were still career. You finally stood down for after about 36 hours. Then what happened?
Well, that was about it.
Okay, back to the same old routine then.
We went back out to, we had a bivouac out at Jackson Rear, which is Jackson Circle down there. Highway 1.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackson Rear is where MASH is supposed to be being,
oh, okay.
being taped, that. Okay? But anyhow, we went up there for a week. First time I'd ever slept in snow.
Mm-hmm.
Temperature down about 0, and you're walking out there on guard duty, and you get back in the squad tent. Somebody thumps you on the ear, and you look down and see if your ear fell off. saw some Korean shrines that
mm-hmm.
that looked like they'd been peppered with buckshot
huh.
over and over again. Had all kinds of holes in them,
huh.
in the walls.
Wow.
And the thing about it is those people are a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
They always bury somebody looking east.
Yeah.
Except the prostitutes.
Right.
They bury them in the riverbed.
Huh. Didn't know that.
All the business girls.
Huh.
Yeah. Believe me, One day, I was on patrol, and I came through the main gate, and the guy was on the main gate, called me over,
mm-hmm.
and said, "Look what I've got." I said, "What?" He said, "Right down back of the building here, there's an unexploded grenade." He said, "Yeah, some kid come up here and pitched it." He said, "Here, GI, catch." So, this was still the Santa Barbara. It wasn't back there. With
wow.
Yeah, they got pops on, going down the road, pulling 5 feet land mine.
Uh-huh.
He tied behind his ox. He dug them up while he was turning.